On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, the special Merry Poopmas episode.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
Petra, we survived Christmas.
I feel like this show should come with a warning label.
Well, I kind of threw my family under the bus last week with my crying sister. And
so it's my turn. But honestly, Hank, my family Christmas was so much worse.
You think they topped? Do you think they get the award this year from our, you know, and I meant to say even last week, like, I don't know, just in case someday my sister or somebody was to somehow listen to this show. Like, I love my sister. I love my family. But that doesn't mean that they're not crazy and do crazy things. I do crazy things. People make fun of me.
We make fun of ourselves a lot. But like the warning label on this episode, because I just, wow. I think my family kind of took Christmas to a new level of insanity this year. Or at least for me. And I'm going to bare my heart and soul. So.
I've got Petra's family Christmas exclamation point first on the list.
Oh, it wasn't family Christmas. It was family poopness.
Family poopness.
Poopness. Come here, Chairman Meow. You can get on Mommy's lap, because at least Chairman Meow poops in a box. So right now she's my favorite child.
Chairman Meow's come home. He's like, what have I done? It's deserved all this awesomeness.
Love and affection and petting and kitty grass and anything else she wants. Yes.
Well,
where do we even start?
Well, let's see. You mentioned that you shot your mom down about some sort of Christian woman thing she said about following your man around.
We got to start at the beginning. Like, I can't just shotgun this, because it was so much.
All right.
Hank, it was so much.
Well, I've got notes. Are we doing like chronologically or by each family member?
I don't even know where we start. All right. Hank and I went to my mom and dad's in Southern West Virginia on Christmas Eve, and we were the only people there. With mom and dad at the time. And that was a very pleasant evening. I actually enjoyed that evening. But you were in talking to my dad, and mom had me kind of cornered in the bedroom. And she gets a little preachy with me anymore.
She takes you to the side and kind of preaches?
Yeah. We kind of been back and forth on some things for a while. And
anybody that listens to our show, we're more kind of agnostic, I guess. Or I'm speaking for myself. We're certainly not super religious.
Certainly not super religious, but I...
Maybe spiritual, not religious, if we were on
Mash.com
again.
I'm a Pastafarian.
So. Yes, we are kind of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. If there was a church for us.
Yeah. That would be it. But she has been on a bender lately. And I think in her mind, it justifies her vote in November. And we were talking about one of my brothers, middle brother,
okay,
who has made some not wise business decisions lately. And I love this term. My dad said he had too much bloomer dust in his face.
I thought that was kind of dirty. When your dad said that, I was so surprised.
You were just
really?
Like,
he's overdosing on bloomer dust. That's what he said.
Yeah. That was...
Which obviously is his way of saying there's some woman in his life that's preventing him or making him make bad decisions and all that. But man, that's a weird way
That's a weird way to say it. And from my...
I don't like it. It makes
dad.
Me uncomfortable.
Good.
And your dad also said shit at least 3 or 4 times this weekend, which is appropriate, and we'll get to why. But still, to say
it made you uncomfortable
to say the word instead of poo or feces,
excrement.
There's a million like medical terms you could use, or some sort of lighten it
my
up.
My dad had had enough.
Your dad had.
He really had. And dad and I both had had enough. We were both ready to
And for the record, I like going to your parents' house. With me, it's kind of a sit back. I bring a book to read.
I watch the crazy happen.
I take notes for the show. It's phenomenal. And I can relax. I mean, I do a lot. So I honestly do like your family. So everything we're about to say is in good humor.
Okay, good. Well, I was back being, you know, talking to Mom, and we, for the most part, had a great time, great conversation. But she was talking about Brother with the Bloomer Dust, and she started to get preachy about how that girl should just, you know, follow him wherever he goes because it's a religious thing.
And stand by your man.
It was totally a stand by your man thing. And I was like, you know, the Bible, wait a second.
You know, the Bible says that the woman is submissive to the man. And if he wants to move,
totally.
Then she should just move with him.
That is almost word for word what she started.
Really?
With. And I was like, I got right there. I was like, now, wait a second.
Now, hold on, Mom.
And she's like, now, wait a second. You moved to Kentucky. And I said, well, I knew going into that Hank's businesses were there. And he had the golden opportunity. And at that time.
Well, now, I had six business locations already at that time here. And I told you on the way here, honestly, and I know it's easy to say, oh, well, sure. But no, seriously, I'm the most logical person in the world. When we met, and we met on Match.com, we lived about 2 hours away. So sooner or later, somebody had to move to somebody.
Yeah.
If it had made more financial sense for me to move to you, no problem.
Absolutely.
I absolutely would have done that.
But it didn't. It made sense for me to move.
So your mom tried to throw that up in your face?
Yeah, she did. And I told her real quick that, you know, if sometime in the future I was the one, you know, the primary breadwinner and it was my job that we were going somewhere for, that you wouldn't think twice about about moving.
That's right. I'm on Team Yates.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we did some back and forth and round about that back in the bedroom when you guys weren't there. And as a cherry on top for my birthday, my mom bought me an old-fashioned cassette player so I could listen to cassettes of my grandfather's sermons.
Like I said, older people, this is another one of those go-back-to-childhood type moments, I think. They think they're being so sly. It's like a little kid that's hiding an extra car under the rug. And you can clearly see there's something under there, they think they're getting something over on you.
Yeah.
That's older people. And that's what your mom is doing here. This is a weird way for her to like, oh, well, if I do this under the guise of it's her grandfather, then really she's really going to get some preaching in and she's going to convert and we're going to go to Sunday school together. She just has this whole construct of you converting.
Yeah. Or we're getting back to whatever she.
Before you know it, you'll be believing in talking snakes. And
not if I was people listening to my grandfather's sermons, I wouldn't be.
People living in Wales for a week or two at a time.
He kind of left those blaring parts out. So that was.
He just stuck with the common sense shit.
Yeah, he really did.
Don't kill people. Don't be kill nice to people.
Yeah. Don't own slaves.
Yeah.
Women are human beings. He was pretty radical for Baptists.
Women don't have to wear skirts all the damn time.
Yeah, exactly.
They can cut their hair once in a while. God almighty.
Not even going to go to hell if you wear makeup. It was great.
That's how a lot of our churches are in this area. I know people listening to this must be like, what the hell are you talking about? No, I'm telling you, a good 30-40% of our churches in our area totally believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
in all seriousness.
And
crazy.
And you run into the guys out and they're all preened up and wearing a half a gallon of expensive cologne. And it's weird. It's a weird, weird thing.
Apparently Jesus didn't speak against camouflage because every guy around here wears their best camouflage and flannel to church.
Yeah.
They love that. for whatever reason.
Oh, but okay.
So
that was,
so that's
that
mom
was,
trying to sneakily,
yeah,
get you some preaching in.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was kind of funny. I'm okay with it. I wasn't.
And she bought you a cassette.
Incredibly.
And she didn't just give you
it.
The cassettes. She bought you the
cassette
player
to play the cassettes.
Now
yeah.
we're talking, yeah, a cassette player. We're talking a 1980 style.
She left the
size of
the,
a brick.
The price tag on it. It's like a $70 cassette player. I didn't even.
Good God. I would think they'd be nothing.
I would think so too. But
they're probably
I think
so rare
had,
now that.
She probably had to order it from some yeah. crazy old lady catalog. So
they're almost antiques. Probably yeah. not. I mean, it's probably pendulum swung the other way. Nobody makes them anymore because they're so obscure now.
Yep. So
$70. Wow. That's going to be an expensive
funny.
Sermon.
That is an expensive sermon. And it's weird because I probably will listen to it because I did adore my grandfather. So, okay. So that went on. And also, let's see, something we were comparing, like, I don't know, somehow Facebook and some of our Facebook relatives came up and
Facebook relatives.
Yeah. And, but it, long story short, like, I showed her some pictures on my phone of like our new apartment and some stuff like that. And I was scrolling through and she saw a picture of a dress that I was in. And she absolutely was just so mean to me. I'm going to say this right now.
What?
My mom is awful. She's like, you look horrible in that dress. Please tell me that you're going to go throw that away as soon as you get home.
What the hell?
Oh, my mom is nasty to me.
What
sometimes.
Dress was it?
It was, oh, the black dress with the blue flowers.
That's a beautiful dress.
She does not think so.
She thinks you're being too much of a hussy is what she thinks.
I don't think it's a very hussy dress. I don't know what it was exactly. But finally, I had to be like, okay, Mom, enough. I know you think I look ugly and fat in that. Drop it.
Wow.
That is, like, it's weird how...
Wow.
Kind of mean to me, my mom can be. So, baby there's brother, no, if you're listening to it, that's what I get when I go home.
There's, there's no dress that you've worn ever that's like awful looking on you. I mean,
I appreciate that.
Just your body build and whatever. I mean, you can wear anything. So that's ridiculous.
Well, I appreciate that, Hank. Thank you. That makes me feel a little bit better because that really, like, that just is a punch in the gut to you when, you know, your family tells you stuff like that. So
that's odd.
Okay. So that was, what was it? Friday night?
This is all Friday night.
Friday night or was
this is all
night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Christmas Eve.
So we go to bed.
No, wait a minute. They're before this.
Oh.
If we're doing chronologically.
Okay. What's next?
We got to still be on mom. Her Christmas present.
Oh, mom's Christmas present. Fuck yes. How did I forget this?
So Saturday, after all this is going on, you and your mom come out of the bedroom like you've been to Vietnam, just shell-shocked. I'm just over there reading, talking to your dad about whatever bullshit we can talk about.
I mean,
he knows not to talk about religion. He knows not to – we know what not to talk about, basically.
God, you're so adult.
We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion. He knows we're not on the same page. So he keeps it on business talk or just something in general that pretty much anybody on earth can agree with. So
the weather.
Yeah. So he's good with that. So me and him are in there. You come out. And immediately it's okay. Well, and first of all, I'll
we had agreed not to do Christmas
presents.
Yes, but I kind of knew that. Like, I kind of knew that my parents renege on stuff like that. So and also,
renege. Yeah. That's a pleasant euphemism for liars.
They're liars. They are liars. Well,
that's a church going liars. What they are.
Well, and I also knew that their damn microwave was rusted through the bottom. I mean, it was a mess. So I picked them up just a cheap little microwave.
Now this is even though everybody
even though,
has gotten together before
and
Christmas,
agreed no Christmas presents
and agreed no Christmas presents because some people just whatever we just don't know Christmas. Nobody gets anybody any Christmas presents. So the first thing, Petra shows up with a microwave.
I show up with a microwave and say it's for Dad's birthday, which was in, like, March.
And then Christmas Eve, Saturday, after you come out with this discussion with your mom, then it's, okay, we got you all some presents. I'm like, oh.
But it was like one thing. So it wasn't like their normal overboard Christmas.
No, but still.
They do go overboard.
But still, they come out with packages for you and me, or a package.
It was a package each. But I'd already got us covered because I bought them a microwave because I knew something was going to get them.
It is so complicated. This whole world is so complicated. I already knew that they wouldn't do it. So I went ahead and got presents because basically, why the hell did anybody even say it?
Well, I honestly don't.
Well, I didn't buy anybody anything.
I fucked up my family or your family. So I ended up sending gift cards to everybody after that.
You know what though? I don't feel not even a micro guilty because everybody said no presents. So okay. I did what I was told.
Well, I mean, that was definitely from us to.
But they bought me a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
So I got
a sweatshirt. It's just a sweatshirt. They bought me a wallet. It's just a wallet. It's not a big deal. But mom's present.
Your dad got your mom a present and it was in this big bag. And I think your mom had been building up all week, I think.
Yeah. Well, my mom cannot handle surprises.
And it sat there for a while. And she'd been guessing. I think your dad didn't tell her.
Well, he likes to monkey with her, too. Yeah. He will tell her, like, he told her it was a tent. He told her it was a sleeping bag.
She really thought it was some sort of a tent apparatus.
Yeah, she did.
Do they like to camp, like in a camper?
Yeah.
And, yeah, he had told her, well, sometimes we'll just sleep outside instead of being in the camper. And
so, and she's like, I'm not going to sleep outside. I've got a perfectly good bed in the camper.
There's bugs outside. There's snakes. There's worms. I'm not sleeping out there.
I've got a bed.
Because that's what she told me as he was going to get it. She was like, if that's a tent, I swear, I don't want to sleep outside. I hope he didn't give me a tent. And, you know, so she really thought it was a tent.
She really did.
She thought it was a tent.
All right. So, like, she opens it, it was a cloth bag that looked like it might have come from Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that.
Yeah.
He really did a good job of presenting it like a tent.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the box big enough for a tent.
Dun, 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 dun. It was a
Casio keyboard.
It was a Yamaha keyboard.
Oh, sorry. Yamaha keyboard.
All right. And like a expensive ass course on how to play piano. And my mom was speechless, pissed off.
I can't. Instantly. You know, I don't know if I've ever seen a fit. What older people call somebody had a fit.
Uh-huh.
I think I saw a fit.
That was a minor fit. You've not seen a good fit.
No, it was a minor fit.
Okay.
No plates were thrown. Nothing was hit.
You were there. Yeah, exactly. There was that. That was controlled fury.
Tell them the situation here.
Wow. Where do I even start? Because like being like the kid, the rational one, the one who's always been the peacemaker in the family, like I can see both sides of this instantly. Like dad is thinking, look, I have bought you the best toy ever. You love piano music. You're always talking about how when you go to heaven, you'll be able to play the piano. Well, here's your head start on it. Here's how to play the piano. And mom is like, motherfucker. I have been told my whole life I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I am completely tone deaf. I am never going to learn how to play an instrument. And here's what you do to me, and you expect me to do a piano recital? I hate you.
Pretty much.
Did I sum that up pretty well?
Pretty good. Yeah. The phrase I remember from it was, you have set me up for failure again, and you're just making me a miserable person.
Oh, yeah. That was good. That was in there, too.
Like, you've set me up for failure. Like, you've bought this. Like, it's a purposeful, you know I'm not going to be able to do this.
So you bought it for me
to make me miserable because I can't do this. And then I'm going to feel even worse about myself and even less self-worth because I aren't going to be able to learn to play this thing you've got me.
Now, I want you to take 1 second here and think about this is where all of my crazy comes from.
Well,
hey,
we all
this
have.
This is where it comes from.
Well, I think there was hurt words exchanged.
There were hurt words, yeah.
And your poor dad was like, well, you know, if you don't have to, if you want to. And your mom's just like, you're going to take this back. You are going to take this back. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, he was really, I felt bad for your dad.
I felt bad for my dad, too.
I mean, he was getting it. Like, I mean, at some point.
In front of us, too.
Yes. Even more. I wanted to just crawl under the couch, go upstairs. I mean, at some point, God bless your dad for that control.
Yeah, but he's been dealing with that for 45 or more years. So,
well, he didn't act like he was enjoying it.
No, he wasn't.
And we've talked about this, and you know, healthy ways to have fights, and everybody disagrees on things once in a while, and blah blah blah. But I don't think you would ever do that to me. I would
not
hope.
In front of anybody else. No, and
I would hope never. By ourselves or ever, that kind of a thing. He obviously was trying to do something good.
Yeah. Well,
she could have said something like, in a nice way, you know, I appreciate this. I know your heart's in the right place. But, you know, I really would rather take this back and pick out something else.
Yeah.
Like, you could do that. You don't have to, like, I mean, she was really mean to him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll agree.
There was a much better way to handle that.
That is an example of a good fight between my parents. So I've come a long way, baby.
Well, that's good because I couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody at some point would have snapped. Any guy. I admire his ability not to, but at some point, yeah, something would have snapped.
I don't know.
It would have with me. It would have with any... 99% of
I'm not
any,
even going to say 99%, but no.
Well, I'll say for guys. I'm going to speak for guys. And maybe because we were there, but I do believe that 90% of males or more in that situation eventually would have just exploded. I mean, you can only be insulted so much.
You guys will take a whole lot if we're cute.
I don't think they'd take that much.
It was pretty bad.
But whatever. So, yeah, your mom did not appreciate that gift in the least bit.
No, and then I ended up later that same night in one room off with Dad, talking him off the ledge, and I ended up in another room talking Mom off a ledge. And then I ended up with them together. Talking to both of them. Did you know that?
Oh, you did some group therapy.
I did. I did group therapy because that's what nice. I do when I go.
Well, that was nice of you.
Oh, gosh.
Some group therapy.
So by the time I went to bed, my head was going ka-thunk, 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 ka-thunk.
Hell, your mom may end up being next Elton John. Who the hell knows?
Who knows?
Who knows until you try?
Well, they ended up staying up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning fighting about it. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, they don't go to bed until they're done fighting.
Well, I can understand that part of it, but again, I just don't understand at some point you just be nice about it and just say, you know, I know your heart was in the right place, but this isn't the right gift. You know, we'll just take it back and I'll get me something else I like. How simple could that be?
That's way too logical, my friend. Dude.
Okay. Like well, whatever. All right, then. Well, then do you do group counseling with your daughter for hours back and forth and then fight some more and make this ordeal take the whole night then?
It was.
That's the alternative.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So we got to sleep.
And
I was up there sleeping like a baby.
You were. You were just like,
I'm oblivious to all that. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go to sleep. Love it. I had no idea that.
Well,
I didn't know that was going on.
No.
So the next day, I get up for breakfast. Again, it's like staying at a bed and breakfast. I get biscuits and gravy and eggs, sausage and biscuits.
I mean, they just go crazy making breakfast.
It's phenomenal.
And Dad got up like at the ass crack of dawn and went and picked up his buddy, Gary.
All right. Let's explain Gary.
Yeah, this is hard to explain. Just like, where do you even start with it? All right, my dad.
He's got a project. This guy is your dad's project.
God, how do I, it's like, where do you even start with this? They went to like grade school together. So they went all the way through school. And then, I don't know, I think Gary had a rough life, married a crazy woman. He was crazy, started drinking too much, then like wound up committed in some sort of like full mental home in Florida. And Dad started visiting him a few years ago when they started traveling.
Now, this is a 65-year-old man.
Yeah. Well, probably.
I think he said he was 65.
65. I think they started really visiting again when Dad was about 60. And Dad.
I think this guy must have saved your dad's life as a kid or has some secret tape of your dad. With three women.
And a goat. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he must have something because for anybody to just take an interest in a grade school friend to the point of.
I don't know. I mean, that's just my dad.
And it's nice.
Just my dad.
Hey, you know what? It's nice. It'd be a nice world if everybody took care of everybody like that. But to me, it seems a bit odd.
But Dad helped him with the legal paperwork and all to get out of, like, the confinement home that he was in and get moved back to West Virginia and...
Gave him a house to live in.
Yeah, just...
Money, set him up. I mean, he totally... Well,
and some of it, though, was, like, just the money that Gary deserved. Like, just getting it turned loose from the right sources because some of Gary's family was cashing his checks. Like he was getting,
hornswoggled by his family.
Yeah. Basically his family was just cashing his social security, his retirement, his disability, everything else. I mean, they were just taking the checks to the bank.
Appalachian retirement plan.
And, you know, once all the money was coming back to Gary, then he could afford, you know, a place of his own. Then Gary had some health issues and was in the hospital for a while. And I was not aware of all of this, but evidently they like did a colonoscopy on mm-hmm. him, I'm sorry. What do you call the bag?
Oh, I can't think of the name of it.
Colostomy bag.
Yeah, he has a colostomy bag.
Yeah.
And they took out so much of his intestines for whatever reason. I don't know if he had cancer or...
Yeah, there's something bad wrong with him. But they're going to reverse it in 6 months to a year. But for right now, he has a colostomy bag. But Dad went and got him.
Yeah, and he's a heavy alcoholic, drug addict, like you said. He's got all that stuff.
He's just, he's had a lot of
horrible health. Smokes like a freight train. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So Dad goes to get him for Christmas because he's not going to leave him in his little, he's in
basically a nursing home.
A nursing home.
For all practical purposes, yeah, nursing home.
So they can take care of him post-surgery. So Dad goes, picks him up first thing in the morning.
On Sunday morning now.
On Christmas.
So Christmas Day, we've got Gary.
There's Gary.
We're like, who are you?
Well, I've been around Gary before, so I kind of know him.
So I come downstairs like, okay, whoever this guy is, join the party.
You just never know. Just never know what you're going to run into. But... So there's Gary, and we're all kind of getting...
And he's a nice little guy.
He is. He's a sweetheart.
He's 65 years old, going on 85. He looks 85.
Yeah, he's in bad health. And there's always the running argument with, like Gary gets up to go smoke, and Dad's like, how many cigarettes have you had today?
Yeah.
Dad just will not get off his ass.
Well, yeah. I don't know. What do you do? He's trying to take care of him, but the dude's a grown man, so what do?
I don't know.
You bitch at him. You bring him to your house on Christmas Day, and you bitch at the poor man for being addicted to nicotine and repeatedly going outside to smoke
with
his colostomy bag slowly filling up as the day goes on, starting with biscuits and gravy and eggs. Like, yeah, this old guy's just eating up a storm.
Okay, and this little guy is, you've got to understand.
I think he's a teeny little guy.
He's a tiny little guy, and he's...
About 5 foot.
He really is kind of mentally ill. Like, he... Wow. They told him that those bags were really expensive, not to use too many of them. So he, like, tries to use one a week. but they're supposed to be changed daily.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a recipe for disaster.
So we start.
You know where this is going.
So you all get dinner going.
We're working on dinner. I'm helping out there.
Actually, he eats dinner. He's at the dinner table.
Well, we're still going in order here. So
okay.
All right. We're trying to get dinner started. I randomly managed to run upstairs, slap a little bit of makeup on, put a t-shirt and jeans on because mm-hmm. I'm still down here helping with making mashed potatoes and whatever else. I mean, I am.
The maid.
Yeah, I am when I'm there. And I'm beginning to feel full on like martyr complex from some of these holidays. So I'm just running as hard. I've got on tennis shoes, jeans, and a sloppy t-shirt, just running as hard as I can. And my mom sticks her head in the door and she goes, "Put everything up. Cousin Eddie's coming and he's bringing the kids."
Oh, yeah. That was before that.
Yeah, yeah.
And literally, his name is Cousin Eddie.
Cousin Eddie, just like Family Vacation.
So, yeah. So your dad then, yeah, it's like a fire drill because I'm downstairs. Your mom does that in yours. And then your dad comes in the living room. Hank, you better put everything up. Cousin Eddie's coming. Anything you don't want stolen, you better put it up. I'm like, what the hell is this madness? Now what's going on? We got Gary here, colostomy bag Gary. We've got your mom and dad that hate each other over this keyboard.
Yeah.
And now, apparently, a kleptomaniac and his kids are coming. So I'm like, what is this going to be? Like, this is
you're just like waiting for it. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what is about.
So I do what I'm told. I go upstairs. Like, normally I'd lay my wallet out on the little nightstand where, you know, in that little spare bedroom.
Uh-huh.
Put that in my, I put it in my pocket. Cell phone, kept that in my pocket the whole time. Like, I did what I was told.
I'm like running through the house grabbing iPads, chargers, yeah, anything like that. Any little thing that can walk away, you just like grab mm-hmm. it and throw it up.
So Cousin Eddie comes in to the house.
With four kids from ages 10 down to 2 or 3. I think the youngest is 3.
And it was almost like they had been a well-oiled ISIS cell.
What?
Like, as soon as they came in, all four kids scattered in all four directions so that nobody could possibly guard all of them.
Nope.
So Eddie and four kids, Eddie stays in front to like as
door,
a distraction
at the door
and talks
talking.
To two or three people in the kitchen, and all four of the kids just go to every
Woo!
Corner of the house.
Yes.
They start rummaging through pill bottles. I heard your mom say that.
Yeah. Well, I
heard him
parents,
say something like, "Don't touch that. That's the you know that's so and so's pill bottle.
Medicine.
Don't take that. Don't get that out of your mouth." Blah,
well,
blah, blah.
It wasn't quite that bad.
Okay, not bad.
but
they were fucking with everything.
They yeah, and it's really funny because oh god, it's just crazy. I have no experience with kids, no real good experience with kids, and I'm. Like trying to steer them out of bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, that's immediately where they want to go and they want to see everything.
Oh, and they're pulling
and
out everything.
A 3-year-old has like candy sticky fingers and he's just grabbing everything, just touching everything. There's sticky chocolate fingers all over. And he's so cute. He really is a doll. He's adorable.
Oh, yeah. A little kid. He was a cute little guy.
They were beautiful kids, but they are just, you're right. It's a 3-ring circus going nuts everywhere.
I heard and tweeted this, by the way, and however it was exactly. I tweeted it, I pretty much quote, but several times it was stairs. Those spiral stairs that are very steep. And these little kids were playing on them. And I heard your dad a couple of times. Now, you better get those kids off those stairs. Eddie says, "Well, don't you worry about that. They go to the emergency room once a month anyway. They're used to that."
Are you serious?
That's exactly what he said.
I was busy trying to keep the little kids off the stairs. Damn little monkeys.
Eddie didn't care.
No, not in the least.
And then another one, and then your dad still persisted because they kept being on the stairs, of course. And he's like, "Eddie, you really need to get those kids off the stairs." And it was another quote. It was something like, "Ah, we got stairs at home. They fall down them all the time."
Yeah, but they those stairs like, are not built for children. Like the little bitty guy could go right over the edge and like fall a whole story onto the dining room table.
Well, apparently they're used to it.
Oh my God.
That's what Cousin Eddie said.
Well, I ran like a mad woman trying to keep him busy. And then at a certain point, the baby, the little guy, the 3-year-old, like I lost him for a minute. And I'm like, oh, shit, where's this kid? And I peek around the corner, and he is snuggled up next to you, Hank. Just, oh. And it was adorable. It was so cute.
You had put on a movie, and he sat on the couch with me reviewing legal documents from our sale tomorrow. So I don't know if he was expecting a bedtime story, but he got a promissory note reading and a assignment of lease.
I was so grateful to just have a little bit of help there because my parents are in their mid to late 60s. They're not able to catch these children. And in the middle of all this, my uncle and my aunt came in, and they're in their mid to late 70s. So, like, we've got all these old people around and these itty-bitty kids around, and I'm just the only one who's even trying to wrangle them in. I was ready to cry. I was literally.
And these Cousin Eddie people have never been there before. Like, no. they're random relatives.
The last time I saw my Cousin Eddie, I threw him out of my house because he was giving me a sermon.
Giving you a sermon?
Preaching. Yes, yes. I needed to change my wicked ways. I'm not sure if I was dating you at that point or. There comes a fire truck.
Yep, there comes our parade, our nightly parade by the window.
Actually, I couldn't have been dating you because I had been out with a friend of his on one date.
Yeah.
And then, and this is a great story too because.
He thought it was serious. One date.
One date, serious dude. And he felt the love connection and I left him on this date. Like he had his car, I had my car. Like, I went to the bathroom and just went out the door and got in my car and left. Like, I was just so done with this dude. And unfortunately, he knew where I lived from Cousin Eddie.
Yeah, of course.
And so I had, like, this crazy stalker dude for a while until I was, like, ready to threaten him, really. I mean, it was bad. It was pretty bad. So this guy, like, persisted for almost a year. It was pretty, like... He always wanted to visit Cousin Eddie, but I lived beside Cousin Eddie, so that made it really creepy. So, and this was back when I had the huge snake, too, so yeah. And everybody was afraid of it, so I kind of wore it as a belt whenever I took the garbage out and was, you know, the crazy neighbor.
Crazy Cousin Eddie. They were hinting around like they wanted to stay for dinner, which was going to be at like 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And all these people are here, and it's like 1 o'clock, and you guys are trying to get ready for
Anybody else would know that, like, hey, you're in the way. Like, I was sending leave vibes as hard as I could, and they're just oblivious to it.
And your dad and them was then your dad and mom were getting all stressed out. Like, are they going to stay? Well, if they stay, we don't have enough chairs. Well, if they stay, they're just going to have to eat in this room. And blah blah blah. Like, they were just all tore up.
Well, I was in there feeding them because they had come from. My uncle's house, and my uncle is the cheapest son of a gun in the universe, and hadn't really fed them much for breakfast, and they weren't going to have dinner until 6 o'clock. So I was trying to feed them all sandwiches and get them out. Like, I was doing everything I could.
Were they visiting the uncle at the end of your road? That's the hoarder cheap dude?
That's a different dude. Yeah, that's okay. Different. Well, that's their brother. That's Eddie's brother.
Gotcha.
So...
That's Eddie's brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
The animal hoarder is
the animal hoarder at Dunmont Company because they'll use too much water and run up his water bill.
Oh, you're getting them all mixed up. It's Uncle who is the cheap guy who they'll use too much water, so they don't want him to stay at their house.
Cheap bastard.
Then there's the brother. And his animal hoarder wife, and they don't want to stay with them because there's so many blasted. I mean, there's pit bulls, boxers. There's probably about 5 or 6 dogs in there, plus a rabbit, an iguana, a bird, God knows what else.
I'm glad those people didn't come over.
Yeah.
They must smell real nice.
They don't.
No,
they don't.
Of course not.
And here's the kicker. They're all, like, all super, super religious.
Of course.
And all those children are homeschooled and schooled, and none of them are, like, literate. They can't even read.
Nice.
So, yay!
So, Cousin Eddie left.
Uh-huh.
Finally got him out. He goes.
And I, as far everybody as I breathes know, a sigh of relief. Was stolen. Nothing was stolen.
Everybody breathes a sigh of relief.
He,
they're gone.
He can't help it. He really is a kleptomaniac. Like, I don't even hate him for it. He's a kleptomaniac. Mm. It's some kind of weird mental illness.
Well, I can hate him for it because I hate that. Okay. In my kingdom, that would be death.
Okay.
So, anyway, so good that Cousin Eddie and his kids didn't steal anything.
All right.
Except a little bit of sanity. So, we finally get to eat. And, and we're in the dining room. We have a separate dining room.
Yes, yes. Mom and Dad have a ridiculously big house, so they have a fancy dining room.
And Gary,
and I've
Gary,
set all, and I've set the table. All right, this is also a huge source of stress for me.
Okay.
Because if I don't set the table exactly right, the way Martha fucking Stewart would set the table, my mother loses her mind because the fork is on the wrong in the wrong place or the knife is turned the wrong way. She really does. Like, I get so much shit from that woman if that table isn't perfectly freaking set. And I'm and I, there's always something wrong. Like, the napkin's always folded wrong or something for her. So
she's used to that old school Baptist. She thinks you're going to get beat over it.
It's really, like, it is
this old school,
nauseating, sickening. I came and got your phone so I could look it up and make sure I did that right.
These old school religious women around here are just beat down.
It's
mentally
bad. Well, I hate it.
Lots of times physically. It's terrible.
I hate it.
So your mom,
All right.
That's the deal there.
So as soon as Cousin Eddie and the four kids.
Now, there was drama with your brother, right? About him being on time.
Wait a second. So as soon as they leave.
Eddie leaves.
Mom calls my brother and says, okay, dinner's going on the table. And he says, I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Okay.
So we start shuffling everything through, to the table. I'm carrying in the ham. Bringing all the dishes in, and I mean, I'm still in a t-shirt and just, you know, running as hard as I can, putting the food on the table. So all the food goes on the table. It's been 5 minutes. Of course, he's not there. He calls back. They're just now leaving. They'll be there in 15 minutes. And Dad's like, he's never coming. We're not going to wait on him. I'm not letting this food get cold. I spent a lot of money on that roast and we're eating right now.
Damn it. That's the only thing missing with damn it.
That's the only thing that was missing was the damn it. So we're all like running into the dining room to say the blessing.
Hold hands and
you gotta hold hands and say grace.
Which is nice. Hey, we're in their home. It's really, I like that. I'm
it's a tradition.
It's
we
nice.
Do the tradition.
Sure.
And
we're praying to somebody. We're
right.
Not super religious, but we're praying.
All right.
Nice.
And then my uncle, who is a Baptist minister.
He's actually a minister?
Yes, he is. He's a preacher.
I didn't know that.
You did not know that. All right. He's a preacher.
That explains a lot about his.
He has the backup prayer behind him.
The backup prayer. Not a backup singer, but a backup prayer.
Yes, my Aunt Marge is definitely the backup prayer.
Yeah, and it's funny.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus. Oh, yes.
And I'm so used to
one person's praying. He's praying. He's saying, you know, dear Lord, thank you for this meal we're about to receive. And in the background, you're hearing, yes, Jesus. Yes, tell it, Jesus. Tell him. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. In the background.
I don't even hear it because this has been every major holiday meal of my entire life.
So it's like it's like a weird duet going on.
Yeah, it is. That's normal for me. That is my normal.
Well, I think it's funny. When I say weird, that implies bad. It's not weird. It's just different. It's
just
funny.
Different. I didn't even notice it because it's just so normal for me.
You don't notice that?
I don't even hear it.
A dude that carries around a backup singer with him all the time.
Yeah.
You don't notice that.
No, not really.
So, I think it's funny.
All right. So
it also makes sense, him being a preacher, because his wife, Margaret, again, just like we're talking with your mom and all this other stuff, she is his slave.
Pretty much. You've noticed that, haven't you?
Yes. You think? I mean, anything. It's like, bring me another slice of pie. Can you salt these green beans for me? Put me some more beans on here. Pass me this. Yeah. Do this for me.
Yep.
It's like, at some time I'd be like, damn, fat man, how about getting it yourself? You know, your legs still work.
Well,
but she loves it, so yeah, or she seems
weird,
to.
It's so a weird whatever. Dynamic, and we used to really like kind of resent him for it, but I swear I think she's been poisoning him slowly all these years.
You know what? If she likes it,
the hell out of all of his food.
And, you know what? If she likes it, obviously she does. She's been around this long, or whatever. She's in a groove. Good for them.
Whatever. It's how that works.
That dude's got it made. I'm telling you, people. If you have some sort of a, I don't know, if you're a dude with middle, just an average income, you could move to Appalachia and live like a damn king.
And have a woman wait on you hand and foot.
Yes. Just meet one of our local women. Go to church. Find you a nice regular Baptist church. You'll find a girl there about your age. She'll probably be beautiful.
Yeah.
And she will absolutely be your slave. Willingly.
Sad but true.
Willingly.
Sad but true.
I mean, she will cook for you, clean, hold a job. She'll probably be a nurse, something like that in this area. Well, she'll have a decent income. She'll give it all to you. She doesn't give a shit. Just go to church.
Go to church and be halfway decent.
Yep.
Halfway decent. Not just, even all the way decent. Halfway decent.
Yep, just halfway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So
that's...
There was drama immediately after the prayer. I don't know if you caught all this.
Uh-oh.
Because my brother's bringing his girlfriend, the one with the bloomer dust.
Yes, he's bringing the bloomer dust girl.
And there weren't enough place settings for everybody because there was not going to be bloomer dust.
She wasn't supposed to come.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So you got beat for not having enough settings, probably.
Well, I very quickly
verbally beat.
Grabbed another place setting, but that there weren't enough chairs. So I was just going to sit in the kitchen. Like, at this point, I'm like, fuck this. Like, I was so done with all of it at this point that I was more than happy. I was going to go sit in the kitchen, and my mother's like, no, you don't. You sit down right over there, but next to Hank. Did you catch that?
No, but why wouldn't you sit down next to me? There was a chair.
Oh, I was going to let them have the chairs, but like somehow Dad found another chair and we crammed something in there. So I go and I sit down next to you and put my foot right in dog poop.
They're little chihuahua.
So this is poop number one of Christmas.
Sit down and have some poop. The dog poops right under the table.
Yes. And I don't know if that was fresh poop or if that was old poop. I have no idea.
I don't know if
the trauma of all the kids or what the heck was going on. But, like, I tried to basically get it covered with some paper towels so it wouldn't be a big deal during dinner.
And at some point, I kind of smelled a little bit of something. And I'm like, these are some funky smelling green beans.
Thanks, Hank. That was dog shit. That's what that was. That was dog shit.
That's some fresh dog shit at my feet. All right. Nice and smushed into the carpet.
Yes,
or the rug.
Yeah, they have a really nice, like, oriental rug that she chooses to shit on.
Yes.
So
this little dog shat all over the place.
Oh, that's dog shit number one. There's more to come. You don't even know all the dog shit story.
Good Lord. This crazy dog.
Yeah.
Her name's Lucy. She's a cute little dog. But
she's adorable, but when she came to visit us...
She's like half wiener dog, half chihuahua.
And she's really sweet. She's good to them. But when she came to visit us, she shit on every one of our rugs. There was one dog turd on every rug up here when they left.
Holy crap.
You didn't know.
She likes to poop on rugs.
She likes to poop on rugs. So that's a problem. I have real issues with this. Anyhow,
especially right before dinner.
I ate some dinner. And then, like, as soon as it's, like, even remotely polite, I start with dishes.
Yeah.
Because I know that it's going to be a 2-hour cleanup on this dinner. and I'm the one that's going to do it. And this is where I get the martyr syndrome or something like that. It drives me a little bit nuts, but like, I didn't cook it. Dad cooked it, but I'm the one that's going to clean it up. So, oh, wait. And then at the very end of dinner, too, this is where shit number two happens.
Okay. Yeah. Tell
like,
us about that.
Gary, like, gets up and goes
to the
bathroom.
Oh, okay. Before that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets up and goes to the bathroom.
And by this time, I have moved away from the dinner table because I now know what – I know it wasn't the green beans. I now know there's
– You now
there's,
know it's dog shit.
Yeah. There's shit all around my chair. At the dinner table. So I get up and stand in the little area between the living room and the dining room.
Yeah.
So I'm standing there.
Yeah.
And I see from my left or where the bathrooms are.
Yeah.
And Gary has went in there.
Yeah.
And it's a distance between the bathroom and the dining room.
Yeah.
So Gary walks into the kitchen and he's hollering for your dad. He's trying to holler for him.
Okay.
And your dad doesn't hear him. So I'm the in-between guy. Between
so you're waving
Gary
dad on.
And your dad. So I tell your dad that Gary has, you know, it looks like he's needing you for something. So your dad gets up from dinner and goes in. And I hear him say something like, "What have you done, Gary?" or something.
See, and I'm oblivious to this because I'm over here trying to deal with dog shit.
And then, I mean, I'm in the medical field. I've worked in nursing homes and hospitals. There's a smell, a distinct smell of colostomy bag poo that is unmistakable. It's different than regular poo. It just is because it's not getting all the way through all your intestines. So it's kind of half whatever, you know, whatever is supposed to be taken out of your food gets about 50 or 75%, and then the rest of it, it's a terrible smell. I mean, okay. As if poo's not, but this is like upper
special level.
This is the crown jewel of poo. if you get colostomy bag poo. So I smell that coming from that way. Now I just got up from a chair surrounded with my dog poo. I'm like, I can't escape this. Like, I don't know where to go now. Everywhere I go, there's poo.
Mary Poopus.
So your dad goes in to help Gary.
Yeah.
And your dad is gone for an hour. They're in the bathroom for an hour.
Don't doubt it. I'm oblivious to all of this because I'm just like, fuck this. And I mean, I am just as hard and fast as I can.
And the whole house now smells like this colostomy bag poo. So we know what's going on.
I've got like, I don't know what's going on because I am so.
Well, I know. Maybe nobody else does because I'm the one that got your dad to go in there.
Okay.
But everybody can smell it. Everybody is just, it's a funny, weird, awkward moment because surely to God, everybody smelled it. Everybody knows what's going on, but nobody says a word. Everybody just kind of knows.
Hank, I swear.
Or maybe they don't know.
I did not know. I was so busy with dog poo over here trying to keep it from being tracked any further over there in the very corner. And this is.
So you're working on your dog poo.
I'm working on dog poo. So the only thing I can smell is dog poo.
And your dad's working on colostomy poo.
Exactly. And the dog poo is like, you have to squeeze between the wall and the spiral staircase to get over there. And I'm trying to clean this up discreetly without everybody in the entire house, like knowing that the dog crapped on the rug.
I know. Cause I feel bad for like your mom. I feel like she'll get embarrassed.
I know. So
and
I'm just
get upset.
I'm doing the
so,
best
yeah.
I
so
can.
I didn't say anything either. I just ate a little bit and got away
for the dog poo. Yeah. You know, and I'm like trying to get it cleaned up before anybody else is like, of course, you know, Auntie Mog is like, did she poop on the rug? And I'm like, shh. All right. So
your dad's in the bathroom, and I knew it had to be bad because they were in there forever.
All right.
I knew.
While that was going on, my uncle needed to use the bathroom, so mom directed him. They've got another bathroom back
upstairs.
In her bedroom. No, it's downstairs. It's back in the back of her bedroom. So my uncle goes back there, and when he's coming back out, the dog is up on mom and dad's bed, and she's pooped on the bed again.
On their bed?
Yes!
And Ronnie found it?
And Ronnie found it.
There's poo all over this house.
And he tells the dog that she's bad, so she pees on the bed.
Oh, poor. So Ronnie sees the dog pooping on the bed.
Well, he sees the dog on the bed with the dog poop.
It and says,
he
goes, you're bad.
Bad dog. And, she
and then the dog pees. Because he got all scared. Or else, fuck you, one or the other. I'm turning this house into the house of poo. Oh, my God.
And Mom is just like, get out of here. She's cleaned it up. I let her clean that up. I cleaned up in the dining room. Then, like, Dad and Gary managed to sneak out. And he's taking Gary back to the care home.
Yeah, he
and
cleaned
Gary's
up.
Embarrassed.
He cleaned up some, but obviously he had to. That bag had to have busted. I bet there was poo running down his shoes.
It may have been on him, but it was not bad in the bathroom because after they left, and I'd already been cleaning up dog poo, and I've got the disinfectant wipes, so I went in there and cleaned up everything again. I disinfected everything. So
you wiped down the bathroom.
Yeah, I wiped down the bathroom. I wiped down the crime scene.
All of them.
And then after I wiped down the crime scene, I cleaned up and I cleaned the entire, like all the dishes and loaded the dishwasher.
Yes.
And washed the dishes. And I could not get a single person in that house to help me dry dishes.
Well, I would have, for the record.
You would have. I know. But like,
my
there
job
were already
is,
like five people standing in the kitchen that I'm working around.
Well, that's my point. I feel like I'm in the way by doing that stuff. So anytime you ever need me, you just tell me and I'll jump in and do whatever.
I will from now on. But when I was ready to start swatting people with a wet towel.
Because when there's people, you know, going in and out, everybody's doing their thing. I mean, it's a small kitchen.
It's pretty big. And I think it's pretty big, but.
Well, the point is there's four or five people in that area all doing
crowded.
Something.
It's crowded.
So for me to sit in there and try to, you want me to do this? I'm just going to be in the way.
Yeah. So it was poopmas. So there was two instances of dog poop and a busted
colostomy bag. It's not Christmas till somebody's colostomy bag breaks.
Baby brother, that's what you miss.
If
you
you're
asshole.
Listening. Yep. So you're the number one kid now.
Which never happens.
After all this, you say your mom's griping at you, but you also say you're number one now.
I am. So imagine where they are because. but oh wow. So middle brother showed up for just a few minutes with his girlfriend, and then they took off. And baby brother and his girlfriend.
And your dad's aggravated at him because of some business deal that he's not doing. And
yeah, middle brother.
Right.
But baby brother's girlfriend hasn't been getting along with her family since the election.
Right.
So they finally like made up enough to be invited to dinner. So, and that is important. And everybody understood that. But I was really looking forward to having somebody to commiserate with a little bit. You know, somebody else to share just some of the, like, family insanity that is really aware of everything that's going on. Because, like, you are kind of like the outsider. Like, you're just watching crazy aliens. At least we all understand the alien culture there and all of the undercurrents and all of the crazy. So there's
well, I can sit back as a like a scientist taking notes and an anthropology, yeah,
just looking at it,
yeah, the sociologist just studying, taking notes, pretending like I'm reading. I'm really
Mary Poopmas. Bless his heart. But Gary made it back and hopefully he's, you know, gonna use more colostomy in the future.
Yeah.
Change him a little more frequently.
Poor dude.
Yeah, that's awful. I feel for him. And then, and honestly, when I went in there, that bathroom was not dirty.
It wasn't dirty. It's just a smell.
Yeah. Well, it had the reek of air freshener.
Oh, so your dad had sprayed a lot.
Yeah.
Well, that helped some.
Yeah.
So, you think Amazon sells air freshener and colostomy bags?
I bet they do. Hank points at me and I cannot stop laughing. All right, everybody, here's your marching orders. If you've enjoyed the laugh at my expense here, why don't you buy your stuff from Amazon through our website? We have an Amazon banner at hillbillynerdtalk.com. If you click on that and go to Amazon through our webpage, we get a small kickback, and we greatly appreciate it.
And through our website, you can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. So you can get a hold of us. Our email's on there. So if you want to get a hold of us, if you have any Christmas stories yourself, I would defy somebody to beat that one, unless there's physical violence involved. But but feel free to try.
I'm sorry, I can't quit laughing. I mean, I was so glad to get in the car and pull away. It was kind of sad in some ways. I mean, I love my family. I really do. I think they're kind of awesome, but they're also kind of crazy. This was a banner crazy Christmas.
Yeah, I think everybody's family's kind of crazy, but yeah, that was a weird one.
Even you can say that.
It was fun, but weird.
You didn't even know about the.
I didn't know about a lot of it, I don't guess. I guess there was some behind the scenes I didn't know, but I saw enough.
You're like, get me out of here.
I thought it was pretty fun.
Good. I'm glad you're my partner in crime, because I need somebody to laugh with this.
They all love each other, and everybody has their own family drama and their family stories, and everybody has that. When you go to my family reunion, you get some of it too. It's just,
see, to me, your family seems so sane and normal compared to mine.
I don't know about that. You know, you heard our Christmas episode, mine, on my family.
See, I didn't even think that was so weird.
Yeah, I guess it's, I don't know. We talked about it. I mean, my sister crying all the time and giving
She's
me marching,
going through a rough spell.
Giving me, I'm supposed to change my will, for God's sakes. At least
She's
you didn't have to.
A rough spell.
At least you didn't have to do that. She doesn't think, nobody thinks they're going to be homeless next week and laying all that on you.
No, but we've been through that before.
Making
so.
You try to make you feel, you know, making you feel guilty because you have something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough. That is rough.
But again, you're right. I mean, people are, you know, she's going through something and hopefully it'll work out. But yeah, there's a little bit of a, I don't know, a little bit of humor at our expense, I hope. We love our family, and I love my sister, and I hope she does great and gets over her spell. I don't know.
I do, too, and I think she will. And I think my family's going to survive quite well. And hopefully Mom and Dad don't kill each other over that stupid Yamaha keyboard. Or
between the dog pooping everywhere and the keyboard. If your mom can't play Mary Had a Little Lamb, she's going to start taking Xanax. Yeah. She'll be on something. Your mom needs a big pot brownie. A glass of wine, and sit down at that damn keyboard and just bang away at it.
Yeah, she might be playing Stairway to Heaven.
Damn right. Who knows?
But I really do think, they are going to go somewhere where it's either medically or recreationally legal and try it, which I'm so proud of them for that.
Yeah, they seem dead set on it, and good for them. That's the oxymoron, or whatever the word is. That's not
of
right
my
word.
Family.
Yeah, well, whatever the word is,
they're
I'm saying the wrong word. But anyway, yeah, that real preachy, not preachy, but they're very religious. And woman subservient. Well, they're not preaching to me. Very subservient women, super religious. Like, you'd think there would be no chance of ever them trying like medical marijuana, any kind of marijuana, but they seem to want to. So that's great.
I love it. I love that we are full of contradictions, the whole lot of us.
You know, the whole world is. Aren't we? I mean, there's something that somebody can bring up, like, why are you doing that when you believe this? And nobody can answer it. You try to come up with some bullshit answer to justify why, but in the end, there's a lot of things we all do that doesn't make any sense.
I think we're a special kind of crazy, though.
Oh, maybe. Well, it was entertaining.
Good. I'm glad somebody found it entertaining.
I got quite a bit of my book read, and I read a lot of our legal documents for tomorrow. So, like I said, I was reading on little Johnny's lap about promissory notes and assignment of leases. And
good. I'm glad. I'm sure you got sticky little handprints all over you, too. It was adorable.
Title search.
I even had documents. To go get. I got Eddie, and I was like, psst, psst, look at this. And we peeked around the corner, and he was kind of like confused, and I was like, he likes kids about as much as I do.
So you ready to have kids? That looks so cute that we're ready to have kids now?
Oh, I walked through the house and announced that we were going to have a baby. Did you hear that?
No.
Oh, yeah. My mom and dad about killed me for that one. She's like, no, you're not going home tonight. You can't. You cannot make a baby.
You think they'd like that? Guess not.
No. Not after all of the cousins' kids. That's
not right after them.
No.
Gotcha.
Not even.
So that's our Christmas special. It's the holiday is today, Monday. It's when everybody took off.
Yeah.
We were off today, too.
Yep. We've enjoyed it. It's been wonderful.
So you get a post-Christmas special.
Yeah. Merry Poopmas.
Shitter's full. Kind of is appropriate there.
It is appropriate. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.